The title of today's contact is Simple Living.
Somewhere along the line, we realized that having a lot of stuff wasn't what was going to make us happy. We wanted to be able to have time for recreation, time to enjoy each other. I just can't see having a lot of unnecessary stuff around the house when most of the world's population doesn't have anywhere close to that, and a lot of people don't have the basic necessities of life. And so we're constantly asking, how much is enough? What do we really need? How much do I keep for myself, and how much do I share?
The advantages of earning more money, the things you could buy or whatever, just didn't interest us as much as living in a more rational, calm way.
That's Cheryl Summer and Michael Lampe, a couple from O'Fallon, Illinois, speaking about their decision to live more simply. Hi, I'm Kim Furlow.
I'm Jonathan Clark, and you're listening to Contact, the weekly radio program with stories about people helping other people to meet the challenges that face us every day.
Bombarded by media images, many people are drowning in consumer debt. They're working longer hours just to pay for the goods advertisers tell them they need. Instead of working to live, they're living to work.
But a growing number of committed people are looking for deeper meaning in their lives. They're breaking away from consumerism and embracing a less complicated way of life.
Today on Contact, we'll hear about Alternatives for Simple Living, a faith-based nonprofit organization assisting people to challenge consumerism and live more simply. We'll talk to the national coordinator of Alternatives for Simple Living and hear from some people who've improved the quality of their lives by embracing a simpler lifestyle. We'll also speak to a man who helps people get started through responsible money management.
The whole point of living simpler lives is to get more joy out of life for ourselves and to help needy people.
Jerry Iverson is the National Coordinator of Alternatives for Simple Living, based in Sioux City, Iowa.
We feel that when we simplify our lives, we'll get rid of that tremendous burden we are now carrying around on our shoulders of all that stuff that we have to, first of all, go into debt to buy, then we have to work so hard to maintain and secure it so, heaven forbid, anybody would steal it. By eliminating so much of that stuff, and the desire for all that stuff, we can lighten up our lives, get that burden off of our shoulders, and instead spend our time developing and cultivating relationships. A relationship with ourselves, feeling good about ourselves, and our relationship with our loved ones around us, with people we haven't even met yet, and especially our relationship with God. But instead, we're told every day with thousands and thousands of advertising messages that somehow our life will be more meaningful if we just buy or consume this one thing. And it doesn't work. We deal with overconsumption as an addiction. It's just that there's no war against this addiction like there is against non-prescription drugs. And yet we feel that overconsumption is really damaging our planet. And the evidence is very clear that if we continue living the way we are now, we will be in serious environmental trouble within one generation.
Alternatives for Simple Living provides books, videos, and other educational resources to people who want to make changes in their own lives and the current economic system.
As more people read about sustainability, they're coming to us and they say, give us some tools. And so that's what we do, is we offer tools to people through our resource guide for them to, first of all, make changes in themselves, because that's where everybody needs to start. Not pointing fingers at other people, but looking at themselves. That's the first step. The second step, then, is to share this newfound joy and these new techniques of living more simply with other people. Maybe it's in a workshop, or maybe it's just in a day-to-day conversation. And part of that, of course, too, is sharing some of our financial support with the needy around the world. So that's the second step, is reaching out. And the third step is when we really get serious about changing systems. This is where we start writing letters. This is where we start talking boycotts, you know, where we're looking at changing businesses and changing governments. So those are the three steps that we promote. And people tie into those at various places and for various motives. But we think that all three of them are important.
Alternatives has a worldwide following, ranging from those who only purchase educational materials to those who volunteer to speak to others.
We have a lot of people involved with Alternatives. We have a small staff. We have a national board of directors. Then we have a lot of customers. These are people who get our resource guide and buy and use our resources and the resources that we get from other publishers as well. But in addition to that, we have over 500 volunteers around the country. And the volunteers stand ready to go out and speak about voluntary simplicity. Voluntary simplicity, that means choosing freely to live more simple lives and also to speak about us. So we have this big pool of volunteers. Then we also have members, people who have joined our organization. They get a special newsletter and that kind of thing. So there are people at a whole variety of levels of involvement with our organization all around North America and to a less degree in other parts of the world too. We get email and we get orders from New Zealand and Iceland and Germany and Kenya. So it really is a thrill to know that people all over the world are interested in the values that we promote.
One family involved with Alternatives for Simple Living are the Lampeys. In fact, Michael Lampe and Cheryl Summer started their lives together using ideas from Alternatives Guide to Simple Weddings.
Maybe a little clue as to our approach is like even when we were married, when we prepared for our wedding, we designed our own cards. In other words, we didn't buy these kinds of things. We just designed them and ran it off on a Xerox machine. I did not get a tuxedo. I just wore my better clothes. Cheryl's mom made her dress. We got very, very inexpensive wedding rings. Family members brought things. It was just a great thing. And when you consider young people are spending probably a minimum, I keep hearing of, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 for weddings. We didn't feel like we had to throw money at that to indicate that we loved each other. It just doesn't have to all come down to money.
Raising a family is the reason many people join the Simplicity Movement. For Ward and Lisa Hine, once deeply involved in their careers, reducing their work hours and embracing a simpler lifestyle helps them enjoy time with their three-year-old son, Ryan.
Well, I worked in a restaurant full-time. I was a chef. I was pretty much married to my job. Really, what made a lot of change for us was when Ryan was born. We decided to work out a schedule that we would share our time with Ryan as well as work part-time.
I always thought maybe 3 or 4 days a week would be perfect. I worked at a large teaching hospital as a recreation therapist. I worked 40 hours a week, had lots of hobbies, wasn't married, didn't have any children yet, and just liked being busy and traveling and that kind of thing. I knew I wanted to be more mindful about the way I was living my life and the values and making time for things that were important to me. Continue with my values of being less materialistic. I like to have a balance between my little son, my activities, my hobbies, and my work.
I was searching for greater balance in my life. Lisa calls me a stay-at-home dad sometimes, just because I spend my daytimes with Ryan and then work evenings. I enjoy it. I'm really passionate about raising our son and being a part of that. We've established a family mission to have fun, to nurture, and to live within our means. And
yeah, it's our mission statement. Family mission statement.
And that helps a lot because we can choose something that an activity or whatever and see if it fits our mission.
But cutting back on work hours also means less income and the adjustments that go along with that.
One of the difficult things that we think about is the future, you know, with college education and saving for our retirement and whatever. There is some fear that we feel about how are we going to manage down the road. You know, we also realize that it is in the future and it's important to be mindful of those expenses coming up. And we're just fearful that it won't be enough or
But even when I cut back to part-time, I continued with my tax sheltered annuities and retirement, so we haven't forgotten about the future altogether. We just try to live smart and have a little cushion, maybe a couple months' salary in the bank. Once in a while, I feel a little resentful that I'm not getting a big home or a minivan to pick out like some of my friends, but then I just come away with the gratitude of what I do have and living simply and being debt-free, I think, is something we can both be proud of.
I think that's the key, is not acquiring things and keeping your focus on living, enjoying what you have and not so much what you want, not always thinking bigger. I think in our society we have this idea that bigger is better. I mean, you look at the more cars, more stuff
right. to have, the more prestige you might
right.
have.
And well, you even look at the cars that are being driven on the roads these days. You have big minivans and four-wheel drives.
I just try to live within my means for now. I'm lucky I have a small economy car that gets probably 38 miles to the gallon, and with gas going up, I'm glad about that. I used to complain a little bit because it was a two-door, and putting the toddler in the back with a two-door sometimes gets old, but right now with the gas going up, I'm glad I have my simple car, don't have a car payment. I just get personal freedom from that. I think there's a lot of power in knowledge, so I'm always reading about ways to cut back. I don't go to the malls anymore. If I need something, I try to get it within one store or borrow it. When Ryan was born, we didn't spend anything. We had gifts given to us for baby showers. He has 9 boy cousins under age 7, and so people would send him clothes, and we would just get a lot, and then we share a lot back and forth with both of our families. So we find that kind of exciting, trying to beat the system and not always think you have to buy all this baby equipment.
I think one of the exciting points that I have nowadays is in the area of helping persons to make the choices so that we do not follow society's great propensity to spend beyond their means.
Brenton Dodge of Glendale, Missouri, teaches courses on budgeting and the responsible use of money. He's been an advocate and practitioner of simple living for decades.
Brenton believes that making and following a budget is the cornerstone of responsible money management. The first step to simple living is awareness of where one's assets are going.
It's very, very important to help people discover what their assets are. Name them, how much is coming from where and where and where, how much they've got in savings, to name all of that, and then to keep record where they're spending the money so that they can begin to track how much of it is going for various causes and how much of it is just kind of escaping because we weren't really careful. And it's not an easy thing to do, and there are many families that don't do any budgeting at all. It comes in and it gets spent. And many families are living with large indebtedness on credit cards. And that can only drain off the funds that would be available for other people. And delayed gratification is really so important. It means living below our means. Our means permit us to spend a lot more and do a lot more. But if we just cut back a little bit and save some of it, and give some of it away, we'll get our life more into a balance.
Today's edition was produced by Catherine Caven. Keep in touch every week with Contact, a Jesuit radio production.